Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, April 22nd, 2016. I am Jason Powell, joined today by Zach Zimmerman, who attended the NXT live show that took place in Lowell, Massachusetts on Thursday. Before I bring Zach in, I also want to point out that he is also going to the NXT live events for the remainder of the weekend. Tonight's show in Kingston and Saturday in Poughkeepsie. You can already read his live coverage, or not live coverage, but full coverage of the Lowell event that featured the big title change, and then also he will have reports up on the Kingston and Poughkeepsie shows over the weekend. So if you're looking for more than just straight up results, definitely check out Zach's reports on these various shows. But Zach, you were in attendance last night, and the big shocker, Samoa Joe beats Finn Balor for the NXT Championship at a house show. How surprised were you to see that?
I mean, I was really surprised. It's funny because I could almost sense from the crowd throughout the match that, you know, Finn Balor was the babyface, Joe was the heel, but every time Joe came close to coming towards winning that title, the crowd reacted really big. It was almost like they were ready for that title change, even though they didn't know it was going to happen, and they probably thought that it wasn't going to happen. But yeah, when the finish went down, it was strange. I mean, there was obviously a really loud reaction, but it's almost like there was a hush that fell over, like, wait, did that really happen? Until the announcers, the announcer, you know, came over the loudspeaker and said the new NXT champion, and people realized it was official. I don't know if they thought maybe some sort of dusty finish was a possibility, but then when they announced it, that place went berserk. Fully behind Joe too. Very happy to see the title change. I don't know how much of it was support of Joe, how much of it was just excitement to see a title change, especially of that magnitude on a house show. But yeah. Pretty unexpected, but just made for a really exciting moment.
Is this the first time an NXT a championship has changed hands at a house show?
Let me think. I don't know if it was Dash and Dawson who won the titles on a house show. I believe the tag titles might have changed hands on the house show once before, but I'm not positive about that. I can probably look into that quick.
But at least for the main championship?
Oh, for the main title, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Any idea why Lowell? Is it, you know, with Poughkeepsie coming up, that seems like a big event too, and any thought as to why they chose Lowell, Massachusetts?
I really don't know. I mean, a lot of the show is kind of geared towards the Lowell crowd. There was a lot of, you know, local faces on the show and things like that. Lowell Memorial Auditorium is at least, locally speaking, a pretty historic building. There's been some cool wrestling stuff that's gone down there. I know, I think WWF Raw used to run there back in, like, you know, when they first started doing Raw, and they were running those theater kind of places. There's been some history there, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it. It might be somewhere near where Triple H trained at Killer Kowalski's school. I know Chaotic Wrestling School is right around there, so there's a big, big local wrestling scene. A lot of indie feds run around there, a lot of schools in that area. So they probably knew it was going to be one of the smarter, hotter, not smart to put the crowd over, but just like one of the more tuned in and one of the hotter crowds. And that was absolutely true. That might have something to do with it, but otherwise, I really don't know. But they did have cameras there. I don't know if they're going to end up showing the match in whole or just highlights of it, but there were multiple cameras there.
They did release a clip of the finish of the match, and then it more than anything, I mean, they were, you got to see the finish, and then they just cut to the crowd so you could get the Undertaker guy, like, reactions of people just with their jaws dropped. They were so surprised to see it. They had several people with that reaction. It was kind of fun to watch. And so they have that out there on their website. It's probably a minute or two in length is all. I don't know if this will show up on television. Was this the only thing they were filming?
I mean, there were cameras there throughout the night. I got to be honest, I was there with my little cousin. It was his first wrestling show.
Yeah.
So I wasn't paying as close of attention to those kind of details as I normally would be. I know they had cameras in and out and around throughout the night. I was up in the balcony, so if they had a hard cam setup, it would have been down, like, straight directly below where I was. So I didn't actually get the chance to see if there was a hard cam. But there were at least two handheld cams going around at different points that I did notice, though I didn't notice their patterns.
And I wonder too. I mean, maybe they're taping a lot of their stuff, but I also wonder if it was spread the cameras out throughout the night so that it's not so obvious. Then, you know, the main event starts, and all of a sudden there's all these cameras all over the place.
Yeah, that could definitely be.
I at one point during the match, it was late. Finn Balor appeared to suffer an injury, or he was working an injury after having a night to sleep on this. What do you think happened with Finn Balor?
I'm still kind of up in the air on it. I think I'm leaning towards that it was a work. I mean, they did a really good job of playing it up like it was legit. Balor did a move to ringside. Again, I was up in the balcony, so I didn't see exactly. I think, based on the setup, he ran around the ring and was going to do that shotgun dropkick thing onto Joe through the barriers. But either when he was running or after he hit the move, Balor went down. Maybe 20 seconds later, Joe got back in the ring. Balor was being tended to by people outside of the ring, and again, with everybody standing and me being in the balcony, I just didn't have a good eye line to it. About a minute later or so, Balor ended up getting back in the ring, or maybe just up on the ring apron, because they went right into the finish. He went over to the turnbuckle, and I think he knocked Joe down, was going to go for the coup de grace, but Joe got up and knocked him down and then hit the muscle buster right from there, and that was the finish, so... Part of me thought maybe it was legit because they went right into the finish right from there and the way that the doctors were playing it up at ringside. And he kind of hobbled himself to the back afterwards. He was still being tended to by trainers. But he did finish the match, and he did stand up in the middle of the ring and raise the too sweet thing to the crowd, and he took a good bow. Crowd gave him an applause. So, I mean, if he was really, really hurting, I don't know if he would have taken the time to do that or if they just sort of carted him out of there in a hurry. But... either way, it was played up like it was legit. It looked pretty legit, but I always lean towards work in these situations, I
sure,
guess.
Yeah, and I know there's footage out there of him after the show, some fan footage of him over by the tour bus, and you can hear the woman say he's limping. I didn't really pick up on a noticeable limp at that point, but still, he was... You know, he wasn't like he was being helped onto the bus or anything like that. He was on his own 2 feet, and so I also lean, you know, kind of a work situation there. But it's possible it's just kind of a scare, and whatever it was just a temporary thing. He in that video plays up the idea that he is, I think we'll see him Monday or something along those lines, hinting that he is Raw bound. First off, do you assume, because of the title loss, that is, and everything going on with Anderson, Gallows, Styles, that is indeed the direction they're going with Finn Balor?
I think so, yeah. I mean, if they had known this long-term, and if WWE had their ducks in a row, I think they would have done this title change maybe in Dallas, in front of that bigger crowd, you know? But then I think with the way they book and how short-term it is, they probably got the call sometime midweek and said, all right, we're going to pull the trigger on Gallows and Anderson, and we want to bring Finn Balor up with them, or something along those lines. So get that title off of him because he's main roster bound, and this weekend was the chance they had, and so they did it. I mean, that was kind of the sense that I got.
With him teasing that, you know, he'll be on Raw on Monday, do you look at that as, well, he's being sincere and they want the word out there, or, yeah, he probably isn't going to be there. He'll be there eventually, but he's having some fun with people right now.
I mean, he, as much as anyone who follows him on Twitter will know, enjoyed, especially before he showed up in WWE, he loved kind of, you know, messing with people that way. But I think it's probably a pretty solid chance. Again, just the way they took the title off of him, how there wasn't a lot of buildup. It seemed like they had moved past Balor and Joe. Balor had beaten him twice pretty clean. And so it just seemed like they were over that. And then, you know, but at this point in time, there's really nobody else to fall back on with that title except for Joe. And again, I would have done it in Dallas had I known, you know, long term. And so I think it's probably a thing where he's, I mean, I expect to see him on Raw on Monday. I will be surprised if I don't see him at Raw on Monday. But of course, I don't know. It's just my inkling.
Now, this is pro wrestling. And do you think there's any chance, we've seen it a lot of times over the years, that by the end of the weekend, Finn Balor regains the championship? And that's why they did it on the first of the house shows.
That was definitely something I thought when the title change happened, too, is like maybe, you know, tonight in Kingston or tomorrow in Poughkeepsie, they'll just put the title right back on him. But I don't know. They've been really, maybe just as an interesting thing. I'm curious because it would be an interesting thing to create buzz for the house shows. Make it seem like anything can happen, so you don't want to miss it when they come to your area. But at the same time, historically, they've been really, really good with the NXT Championship. I mean, they've taken really good care of that title. They don't toss it around hot potato. They don't make a joke out of it. They don't, it's a significant title, and the person who holds it for a pretty meaningful amount of time. And so I would be a little bit surprised. It would be a change of the way they do things. But I think is it Ryan Ward who's now out of NXT and on the main roster, and they brought somebody else down to freshen things up a little bit. And
creatively, so we're talking.
Creatively, yes. So who's to say that, you know, this guy's not going to maybe hot potato the title a little bit more or you know, just do something like this again to create buzz around the house shows?
I'll be surprised if they put, I mean, just because I think it's Balor's time to go up. I also thought it would be Samoa Joe's time to go up, and it doesn't look like that's happening with him as champion. Do you speak to Joe now, as far as him winning the championship after losing a couple of high-profile matches to Balor, has he been damaged in any way? Or does the title change kind of just change everything, and he's as strong as ever?
I mean, I think Joe is pretty, by and large, Teflon. I mean, as long as they have him losing big matches where he still looks like a monster, and he's looked great, completely capable in his last two losses against Finn Balor. I think the last one is even the kind of almost a roll-up, you know, bounce off the turnbuckles when he's got his finishing hold on. So I don't really think that Joe has been damaged badly. I think the work that he's doing now is the best work of his career. I mean, I feel funny saying it sometimes, but, like, this guy deserves the title. Like, from a status point of view, he's putting in the best work now that he's ever done, I think. And so, yeah, the person who's doing the best work, I think, should be the champion in a certain sense. And I think any damage that might have been done to him is now erased with that title. But I'm not sure, you know, how long of a reign we're going to see. I don't see a ton of babyface challengers on the horizon. I think immediately what screamed to me is that, okay, well, they're going to build a Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura for SummerSlam weekend or something like that, which I would be totally in favor of. But then at that point, who do you want losing? Who else do you have set up on the babyface side to challenge for that title? So it's interesting. I'll be curious to see. Maybe they can do Joe Aries and go back to that age-old program from Ring of Honor. Some fun things they can do. I think Finn Balor had kind of done just about all there is to do as champion, and so I was completely in favor of it.
Except for that match with Nakamura. Do you think there's any chance you get that match this weekend?
Finn Balor or Samoa Joe versus Nakamura?
No. I like you. I think they saved that for a live special. But
yeah,
Balor and Nakamura even.
I hope. I would love to be there live for that. I wouldn't be surprised to see the two of them team up in a tag match. I think they've done that a couple of the house shows. But hey, just for being optimistic's sake, let's say yeah, I do think they're going to do that. I really hope so.
Just kind of going through the rest of the show, we're not going to go through every match, but just want to hit on a couple of things. I know the semi-main event was Asuka beating Alexa Bliss, and your first words, bad match. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we had come back from intermission. American Alpha and the Revival went probably 15 minutes in a tag match. They probably only needed to go 11 or 12. And then Asuka and Alexa Bliss went probably 8 or 12 minutes in a match that probably should have just gone 4 or 5. I mean, believe me, I'm not the person at this point in time who says the women's match should be the buffer match. But when it's Asuka as your champion against someone a little bit lower down the card like Alexa Bliss, someone as dominant as Asuka, people just want to see Asuka go out there and kick ass. And this match was Alexa Bliss putting her in rest holds and just kind of, you know, working the heat on her for a long, long, long time. Probably, you know, a good 6 or 7 minute stretch of this match was just Alexa Bliss on top. And then Asuka she didn't even make a comeback. She hit a couple of moves, and then kind of they did the O'Connor roll off the ropes, and they tripped up a little bit. And then Asuka just put her in the Asuka lock, and she tapped out, and it was over. And it was like, you know, a 10-minute match that ended anticlimactically and wasted everybody's time when they should have just gone out there and had Asuka kick her ass in 4 or 5 minutes, and that's all it needed to be. So,
yeah, there's something to be said, Zach, for giving Alexa. It's a house show, you know, and letting her go out there and work in front of the live crowd, certainly. But it doesn't sound like she made the most of that. You just said it was a bunch of rest holds.
Yeah, that's really kind of what it seemed like. And yeah, she just didn't do a lot. And I totally agree. The house show is the place where you do a longer match with somebody like Alexa Bliss, somebody like a Baron Corbin. You give them the chance to get that ring time that they need. But yeah, no, in front of this crowd, in front of this opponent, in this match, it wasn't what it should have been.
The tag title match, American Alpha beating the Revival, as you mentioned. How are the Revival doing without the tag titles?
They're all right. I mean, I didn't really think that they... I think that they a run with the titles was good to kind of establish them as like, oh, okay, these are guys who are not just guys. They're former champions, or they're champions, and they're capable. But I just don't think they're shiny enough. I don't think they have enough really jumping off the page to really make them a marketable act. And so I think they've kind of settled into a role that they'll be good at, whether in NXT or on the main roster. It's just kind of, they can go out there and they're really good heel tag team wrestlers, just fundamental heel tag team wrestling. They're fantastic. They do stuff that is entertaining, doesn't put for a boring match, but also doesn't make you want to cheer them because it's so exciting. So they're fantastic as far as that goes. But they're just kind of a team that's going to hang around and be, you know, competitive opposition to the baby faces who people are there to see. And that's what this was. But it just went a little bit longer than it needed to.
You get the preview of a match that I think is airing on next week's television show, Nakamura against Elias Sampson. What do we have to look forward to there? Can Sampson, I'm guessing he can't hang with Nakamura, but can Nakamura carry him to a passable match?
I'll tell you what you're going to see. You're going to see Nakamura play a little bit of air guitar, kind of mock the guy a little bit, hit a couple of knees. You're going to see Elias Sampson take the heat and sit in a couple of chin locks. Maybe a knee drop or two, and Shinsuke makes his comeback and wins. And that's that.
And then the other one I'm curious about, and then I'll turn it over to you for any other thoughts or, you know, just things I've missed. Austin Aries beating Manny Andrade, I believe is how you pronounce it. Tell us about this one, because I know Andrade has quite the background as well.
Yeah, this was excellent. Manny Andrade was La Sombra in CMLL. He worked, I think he was a former Intercontinental Champion in New Japan during a little bit of an excursion there too. But yeah, La Sombra from CMLL. And they took his mask off, and so nobody really knows who he is or what he's all about. And he comes out in this fedora, and he's kind of got these, like, these long black dress pants, and he's got no shirt, but he's got suspenders on. Kind of like not quite like a Chippendales look, but just kind of like a pretty boy, playboy kind of look that he's got going on. He just dances a little bit, just smooth character. And he gets zero reaction. Nobody knows who this guy is.
Wow.
And it's Massachusetts, we're a Northeast crowd, so if you don't know the guy, you're probably going to be negative towards him just because we're negative towards everything that we don't know. And so, and then Aries comes out and he's the star. But man, halfway through this match, and Manny started doing just a couple of flips, he doesn't do a ton of really fancy stuff, but he does lucha stuff, and he does it so crisp and so clean that, like, you watch him and you're just, wow. Like, a lot of guys can go out there and flip around, but this guy goes out there and is just smooth as butter, running head scissors, cool tope dives. They didn't do too much risky stuff, but just a really, really effective match that by the end of it, Austin Aries won the match with the last chancery, but the crowd had split probably 60-40, maybe 70-30 in favor of Andrade by the end of the match. Aries helped him to his feet afterwards and then raised his hand, and then Aries left the ring. Left Manny in the ring, and the crowd chanted, a loud Manny, Manny. So just a guy who can go there and get over in front of a Northeast crowd like that, the future looks good for Manny Andrade.
How disappointed are you didn't get to see No Way Jose?
Oh, God. For a while, they were doing that down on the live events there in Florida. They were bringing out No Way Jose, and it's like, I mean, okay, I don't want to stereotype, because they're not the same at all in any way, really, other than they're both kind of Hispanic descent, but it's like, how are you going to put this guy, No Way Jose, this dancing goofball who does nothing, in there and keep Manny Andrade on the bench, but I was thrilled to see this. This was awesome. I was not upset to not see No Way Jose, let me be clear.
Well, it's 2,800 in attendance, roughly, according to your estimates, and sellout crowd. Anything else stand out from this show? I know Chris Gerard worked an undercard match. Your personal favorite, Mojo Rawley, was there. Bayley and Carmella teaming up. So some overall thoughts on the show. And again, anything I may have breezed over.
Yeah, we touched on the stuff that we touched on pretty well. But Mojo historically has not been my favorite, to say the least. But I did kind of gain a little bit of respect for him here in that he came out. And again, being Massachusetts, we're a bitter people. The crowd did not like Mojo Rawley when he came out, and they didn't know Riddick Moss, so of course they didn't like Riddick Moss either. So both guys got booed roundly when they came out. But with just Mojo, with his antics in the ring, he's annoying and he's over the top, but I think he's kind of honing that and owning that, if I can use both words, a little bit, in the sense that, like, he's not quite as annoying as maybe he used to be. He's still really annoying, and I still don't like him very much. But by the end of this one, the crowd was they cheered when he won. So there's that. It didn't overstay its welcome.
Hey, real quick, Mojo in Massachusetts, was there a Gronk sighting?
There was no Gronk sighting, but there was a section of fans right by the stage who were all wearing either Patriots jerseys or Mojo T-shirts. and they were all wearing their Zubas. So I'm sure those were Mojo's frat buddies or whoever they were. So then we had Bailey and Carmella against Dana Brooke and Peyton Royce. Dana actually got a really good pop when she came out because this was her first her return to in-ring action. She's been out for, what now, maybe like 8 months? She had some kind of shoulder injury or injury to her pec or something like that, bicep, tricep, something. And she was out for a long time, but she came back. Crowd was happy to see her, but then they were kind of hating her as the match went on. Bailey and Carmella, of course, have some good chemistry, and this was just a fun little, basically, opening tag match. It didn't overstay its welcome either. And the babyfaces won, of course. And then, yeah, what was the pleasant surprise of the night, I got there, and they didn't have many matches announced, but you walk in, and the merch stand is right there, and they have this really cool, like, vintage, old-timey wrestling poster made up. You know, Mayhem in Massachusetts, and is the NXT, it was the full card. And then in the bottom corner, I saw Chris Gerard versus Tommaso Ciampa. And it's like, that was them, like, blowing a kiss to this Boston crowd, because Chris Gerard, the former Biff Busick, really, really came into his own in the Boston, Rhode Island area. Sure. That's just, that crowd completely, completely loves him. They knew him as Biff here. There were loud Biff chants throughout the match. People were singing. I used to come out to bro him. It's kind of a cool song for the crowd to chant, and there were a good handful of people in the crowd singing that for him, so definitely familiar. Ciampa was billed from Milwaukee because that's where he lives now, but he was also trained at Chaotic, and he was a Boston, grew up in the Boston area and started wrestling around there. So this was awesome. Both guys got great hometown reaction. They beat the hell out of each other. Didn't go really long, maybe 8 minutes, and I put in my live coverage because I was writing this as I went along. I put in the most pleasant surprise of the night because I didn't plan on the title change. But actually, they put Biff Busick over. They let Chris Gerard get the win over Tommaso Ciampa, who's now contracted. Both guys, this match got a standing ovation mid-match when they did just a crazy sequence into a double down. And then at the end of the match, both guys got a standing ovation too. So both guys have bright futures, I think, in NXT. And it was just thanks to NXT, whoever booked this show, for being aware to a certain extent that these guys are very, very popular in my area.
And you were talking before you went on, you attend a lot of shows in person, and how does this one rank overall?
Yeah, I go to a lot of shows. I've got a cigar box in my room full of probably 100, 150 tickets I've been to. I'd put this one in like the top 10 or 15, and that's really saying something. This is one of the best shows I've ever been to. Just beginning to end, everything. You know, I had my complaints and I made them known. A couple of matches were a little long or didn't go quite well, but just beginning to end, the excitement and the pace of this show, the crowd was a sellout, super hot, wanted to see everything. There was no point where they were like, you know, sometimes when you go to Raw, it's like they see a big star and then there's a lull because they're waiting to see the next big star. This one was like every match gave the crowd what they wanted to see at that time. It was just a really well put together show. If you know, I'm the NXT guy, so but I still don't have to say this. Like, if NXT comes to your area, you really have to go if you're a wrestling fan. They put on such a good show.
Oh, I'm hoping they make it up to Minnesota. They come close. Wisconsin. Milwaukee got a show, but nothing in Minneapolis yet.
I don't see why they don't do, like, Chicago, Wisconsin, Minnesota, something in that region. You know, five shows up there.
Yeah, it's a long haul, but I mean, I wish they'd do, like, if you're going to do Minnesota, do Minneapolis, and, I mean, you could easily do Duluth, you could do Mankato. There are definitely spots in Minnesota if that's what they're worried about, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time. But, Zach, thank you very much for joining me. Enjoy the shows in Kingston and Poughkeepsie, and before you go, tell everybody where they can follow you on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter at .NetZim, .NetZim, and I'll probably have a couple pictures and a few maybe sarcastic tweets or if anything newsworthy goes down, I'll tweet that. Yeah, no, me, never. But I'll be not live tweeting the show, but I'll be tweeting at the show. And then, of course, you can check back on the main page for my full report of both the Kingston and the Poughkeepsie shows this weekend.
All right, there he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Zach Zimmerman, if you enjoyed this audio show, I know that, as I always say, Zach follows NXT closer than anybody, and you can follow along with his live coverage reviews of NXT as the show streams on WWE Network on Wednesdays, obviously. If you're not watching the show live, you can check back. And if you're not somebody who's familiar with our style of reviewing shows, we don't just give you the who beat who. We actually add live commentary along with it, so you kind of get the best of both worlds. So if you're looking for instant feedback on what Zach thinks thinks about NXT television shows, and for that matter, the live specials that he covers as well. ProWrestling.net, Wednesday nights, of course, for NXT's television show. Be sure to check back for Zach's reviews of these upcoming house shows that we mentioned. On the member side of things right now, Brian Fritz from BetweenTheRopes.com joined me yesterday for about 80 minutes of discussion. We opened the show discussing the death of Prince, certainly a shocker as someone who grew up here in Minnesota and got the chance to see Prince perform at Paisley Park and then also at the XL Energy Center. A real fan of his work and especially his amazing guitar playing. And with the news being so fresh yesterday, I definitely felt the need to discuss that and share some thoughts on that. So we had a good discussion about Prince to start the show before we got into all things wrestling, of course, including plenty of talk about the death of China and the way WWE has handled it, the WWE Hall of Fame debate, all sorts of stuff on China, plus Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, who are they with? You know, who are they going to be aligned with? The TNA situation and much more. Again, about 80 minutes of the .NET Weekly audio show, which is available weekly for the .NET members, exclusively for members. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Once you are there, you will see the sign-up page on the right side of your screen, and once you get in there, you'll find three different pricing options. Choose the one that works best for you. Rates start as low as $7.50 for 1 month of membership. You can also save yourself some money by going with our six-month or annual membership. The annual membership brings that average price down to $5.50 per month. So if you enjoy our all-access audio content, know that there is a ton more available if you become a .NET member. For instance, I'll be by a little bit later on today with my audio review of Ring of Honor. Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed normally covering that show, but Hayden is on vacation, and Ring of Honor put the show up so late that Darren didn't get a chance to do the audio, so I'll be filling in for him. I saw the show earlier in the week. That'll be available exclusively to the members, as are all of our television reviews of the various Ring of Honor, WWE, TNA, NXT, the list goes on and on. So if you enjoy audio content, know that we have a ton of it available for you on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. And please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. You are helping spread the word about the podcast when you take a moment to do that. It is greatly appreciated if you help out in any way. For instance, if you can give a simple retweet when I send out the link to our All Access Daily Audio shows, just take a second, give it a retweet, and again, you are helping us spread the word, and thanks to everyone who has already done that. That is going to do it for me today. I will be by on Monday with the next All Access Daily podcast. Until then, have a great weekend, everybody. Take care.